Come on now. Y'all are not sleeping right now. I know you had lots of stuffing and lots of good food and good drinks, and now it's time to lock in going into this new year. This message I'm going to give is yours if you'll receive it. If you'll receive it, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. And I want you to receive this message in here today. And guess what? It's not bad news. Glorious, inexpressible joy. And I'm telling you, some of y'all went through some nightmarish experiences this past year. Some of you were grinding. Some of you were going through some stuff. But I'm telling you, this year that you came out of, that you felt like some things got decreased, you're about to see increase. Because Jesus has come to this earth to give you good news. You're never going to hear bad news from me. It's always going to be good news, good news, good news, good news. Glorious, inexpressible joy. You're going to find yourself in some places this coming year where you're not going to even be able to verbalize what God's done in your life. I'm prophesying over you. You're not going to even be able to verbalize it. You're not going to be able to explain it, because God's going to step into your situation and he's going to turn it upside down. And what looked like death to you is going to turn into life. Come on now. Come on. Do you receive it? Do you receive it? There's joy in the house of the Lord today. I am not going to let the enemy shut my mouth. I'm not going to let him shut me down. I'm not going to let him get me into depression. I'm not going to let him lead me into anxiety. I have the joy of the Lord, and it's inexplainable and inexplicable, and it's glorious. Glorious. Some of y'all that are having trouble laughing, you're going to find laughter start to bubble up in your belly, and you're going to start to laugh again. And the dreams that the enemy tried to steal and destroy in you, you're going to end up laughing at the very thing that he put in your path to destroy you. Come on now. Oh, boy. God. All right. Well, I figured we'd start off in Luke 2, which I don't even think I gave it to you up there. But it's Luke 2, verse 8. And this is what it says. It says, that night fell in a field near Bethlehem. Shepherds were watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the whole field in blazing glory of God. And the shepherds were terrified. This is the Christmas story. Put yourself in this story. You're just hanging out as a shepherd. All of a sudden, this massive angel shows up. How the glory of the Lord is everywhere. It's blazing. It literally lights up the whole field that was dark. And it says they were terrified. They were terrified. And this is what it says. But the angel reassured them, saying, don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news. The most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone, everywhere. My. The joy of the Lord is in this house, and the joy of the Lord smashes things that you thought were going to trip you up. It will smash that thing. You say, I don't understand. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The magnitude that you walk into the joy of the Lord is the magnitude of the strength that you walk in. Everybody's breathing. Thank God you made it through all the way up until today, and you're sitting in this seat hearing this word today. We ought to just give him thanks and glorify him that you actually made it through this year. You're actually sitting. Pastor Don used to say this thing. He used to tell the enemy, I'm still here. I'm still here. Yeah. Yep. He came to bring great joy because he is great joy. And here's the thing. If he's great joy and he's moved up on the inside of your structure, your body, your skin, we ought to have great joy. If the Savior of the Lord has literally come on the inside of us as human beings, and he is the great joy, we should have great joy coming out of us. Okay. We're moving into Nehemiah 8, and this is where we find that scripture talking about the joy of the Lord is your strength. And this is one of the portions of scripture, amongst many, that leave you scratching your head. Because what you think should happen doesn't happen. All kinds of stuff like that in scripture. You know, you have the tabernacle of Moses that's full of this structure and full of these strict rules. Then all of a sudden, David puts this tent up on a hill, and David's not following any of the structure or any of the strictness of that religious mindset, but now he's coming in and out of the tent. There's some stuff biblically where he shows us in the Old Testament that there's a taste of the grace to come. David goes in. He's not supposed to be eating the holy showbread. The table, the bread on the table. And he's hungry and he's running from Saul. And he eats something that he's not supposed to eat. You see it in Peter when the sheet comes down and there's a bunch of unholy, unclean things on the sheet, animals. And God says, Peter, kill and eat what's on the sheet. And Peter says, No. You don't understand, God. I'm super religious. He says, Peter, I want you to kill and eat everything on there because everything on there is clean. Woo-hoo. See, God does some stuff where we're set in our ways or set in our mind in certain things, and he just comes and he just knocks over our holy cows. Holy cow. You know, you think Peter didn't walk out there going, holy cow. Religious cows. I used to go cow tipping. Did you? I lost my keys one time in the middle of a field, and I had to go home and tell my dad that I was tipping over cows in a field, and that's how I lost my keys. He already thought I wasn't really smart, and at that point, I confirmed it. It was confirmed. So this is how it reads. It's Nehemiah 8. It starts in verse 1, and it says, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. By the way, there's 50,000 of them. 50,000. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. We're talking here about 5 or 6 hours of scripture reading. Good Lord. We are 30 minutes in and we're starting to figure out, you know, what we got. What do we got to do? 5 or 6 hours straight of scripture reading, just scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. People were so hungry. They were so hungry. And you read it from the open square in front of the water gate from morning until midday. Before the men and women and those who could understand and the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood, oh boy, there's about 25 names here that were about impossible to say, and I had to look up every one of these things, and I had to pray for patience. But here we go. Mattathiah, Shema, Anijah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah, and at his left hand, Padiah, Mishali, Malkijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, Meshullam, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen and amen. They said, let it be. And they lifted up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Joshua, and Bone, and Sherebiah, and Jamin, and Akab, and Shabbatai, and Hodijah, Messiah, Kalida, Azira, Jozabad, and Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people understand the law. And the people stood in their place, so they read distinctly from the book of the law of God. And they gave the sense and helped them understand the meaning. So they were literally going in amongst the 50,000, and they were going in, they were explaining what the scriptures were saying. They were explaining what this law was. They were explaining all these things and deconstructing these things to the people. 50,000 of them. Took some organization, reading distinctly from the book. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. At this point, these people were sobbing and mourning because they had been in captivity in Babylon for over 70 years, and they never heard this stuff. And all of a sudden, the book of the law, the scriptures are being read, and all the people are like, oh no. they're like, this standard is 50,000 feet in the air, and I'm down here. They were thinking, we're done. We're done. We're done. We're done. Because with all those scriptures, it said, if you can't do this, you're cursed. If you can't do this, you're falling under judgment. If you can't do this, you're falling under wrath. And they were panicking because their whole existence now is tied up into this law that they know they can't do. Oh boy, that's a problem. Isn't it a problem? I'm going to read this real quick. At the time before the events, Israelites were in captivity for 70 years in Babylon where they didn't have access to the law. Under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah, the people had rebuilt Jerusalem's ruined walls that protected the city, and now they had their sights on establishing the temple and restoring the nation. Nehemiah called that special meeting. So before this, they've rebuilt the city. They've rebuilt the walls. There's tons of building that has happened. And now they're actually hearing the scriptures. And he says, don't mourn and don't weep because all the people were sobbing. He says, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And for some of you, joy has lasted a year. Maybe it's lasted 6 months. Maybe this morning. But now joy comes when you wake up. And today some of you are going to wake up. You're going to wake up and come out of your season of mourning, and you're going to step into a season of joy. You're going to laugh again, I promise. I've been in situations in my life where people had to tell me, when I was a Christian, things are going to get better. And I looked at them, I thought, no, they're not. No, they're not. They're not getting any better. This is bad. This is bad. But you know what? He brought me through seasons of travail, seasons of being pregnant with this thing. And I'm telling you that God has allowed me to give birth to something that I could have never given birth to if I wouldn't have gone through that season of travail and pain and trial. Come on. God will make sense of this life for you if you will walk with Him. He will make sense of it. If you're in here today and you're confused, this Jesus will make sense of what you're going through if you press into Him. And He'll tell you this pain that is happening to you right now is only you pushing and giving birth to something new in this new season in 2026. But what they thought they should do is just be downcast, because that's kind of all they knew, and be sorrowful. But he said, it's okay for the word of God to hit you like that, but at some point you have to get healed. At some point you have to get off your feet, get on your feet again, and you have to walk again. I just hear this, to pick up your bed and walk. If you'll just pick up your bed and you'll walk, if you'll just pick up that thing that you're lying on, that you cannot get out, you feel like you just cannot get out of, whatever that thing is. He said, if you pick it up and just start to walk, I'm going to lead you to a pool. And inside of that pool and inside of that water gate, you're going to step into the water and you're going to be healed again. Healed again, healed again, healed again. This life is just a bunch of tearing down and building up and tearing down and building up and tearing down and building up. But he just wants you to know these seasons where you feel like you're being torn down, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. I'm telling you, for somebody in here today, there is hope for you. Hope. Great hope. Doesn't make sense. Stop crying and stop mourning. Eat fat. Okay. Eat a big old filet mignon. Eat a sirloin. Eat some ribeye. Go out and drink something sweet, because in His presence is fullness of joy, and His word is like honey to my lips. Okay. Do you know when Abraham, before he dies, the Philistines go and they clog up a bunch of wells that he dug. And here comes Isaac. Does anybody know what the name of Isaac means? Laughter. Laughter. And Isaac goes to all those old wells that the Philistines filled up with dead bones and junk and rocks and dirt. And Isaac goes, and he goes, and he starts digging up. Laughter starts digging up through those wells that the Philistine clogged. I'm telling you today that there's some wells sitting here on the inside of you that God is going to literally unclog by the hearing of the word, and you're going to hear a pop, and all of a sudden, those dead things are going to come flowing out, and you're going to feel a new freedom and a new joy and a new sense of being and a new sense of purpose and a new sense of hope because your well has been unclogged. Isn't it like God to have laughter go dig up those wells? Should we? All right. He told him, don't sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know how many times we quote that scripture? We don't even know like what it is in context. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So then the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Don't be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send, and to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. I'm going to tell you something. The reason why God wants you to start walking in the joy of the Lord to a greater degree is because he wants you to send some joy to somebody else. See, we're not just drinking the sweet drink and eating the fat off the steaks so that we can get bigger and bigger and bigger. What we're doing is we're drinking the sweet and we're eating the fat of his word. Why? Because we're going to send some portions out. Oh boy, it's way too much. We ought to put, come on in for a steak dinner. Come on in for a buffet. You suppose some people show up? They'd be a little angry when they know it's not real food. But they would leave satisfied. Okay. I'm all right. Be still. For the day is holy. Don't be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. God is the God of turnaround. Man, I want you to picture 50,000 people just, all of a sudden, there's a switch that's flipped, and they go from that to rejoicing greatly. All of a sudden, and it's interesting to me because this sounds like, I know this is Old Testament, but this sounds a lot like the story of the prodigal son, does it not? The father didn't require the son to try and pay back his way. He said, go kill the... Oh, the calf was real fat. Go kill the fatted calf. Isn't it interesting? In other words, let's have a party. Meanwhile, the religious son is sitting in the background, and he's like, what a waste. What a waste. And the father has to turn to the son and say, listen, everything that your brother is getting right now was available to you. You just wouldn't go get it because you became complacent. You came into this place of, I'm just going to hang out here and hope for the best or whatever. I don't know. I don't know the reasons why the elder brother didn't go in after what the father had. Maybe it was because he thought he was holy. Maybe he thought he was just too holy for all that. See, he was just too holy, 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 holy. Self-righteousness. 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 It's a killer. You want to see where a bunch of demons hang out? They hang around self-righteousness. Because self-righteousness will stop you from joy. My goodness. He said, my son was lost and now he's found. It says that there is joy in the presence of the angels when someone repents. When one sinner comes back, all of heaven rejoices. My goodness, after that huge angel shows up and declares that Jesus is about to come, it says all of a sudden there's a myriad of angels. They're just all hanging out and they're waiting for Jesus to come. They're waiting for this great joy to come. And they're all hanging out here, by the way. And they want to know what's going on. And they look in and they say, oh, that's interesting. Wow, listen to that. Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh, they're all over the place. I don't know if you don't believe in angels, but you better wake up because they are all over the place. Isn't it crazy how a bunch of people believe in demons, but they don't believe there's holy angels assisting you? Do you know that there's an angel assigned to you? Angels assigned to you. Beautiful, radiant, blazing angels. But Christianity's boring. Okay. All right. Is it really? Oh, my. It's boring. It's so boring. Man, oh man. Yeah, it's boring. The God that created the whole universe has moved up in the inside of us. Oof. Can't get more boring than that. Oh my goodness. I'm in Jesus. Jesus is in me. The Holy Spirit's in me. I'm in the Holy Spirit. The Father's in me and I'm in the Father. Boy, is that boring. I can't. I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself. I wake up every morning, this doggone monotonous day. Go to work. Eat my food. Go home. Can we please wake up and see what Jesus has purchased for us as we walk in this earth as the body of Christ? My goodness, maybe this is the year where God's going to wake us up. Wake us up. The older brother wanted the younger brother to pay for what he did. It made no sense to him. I love stuff that Jesus does that makes no sense to me. So Romans 14, 17, this is what it says. How important is joy? For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy, where is it at? In the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? In you. The Holy Spirit has come to bring three things. Righteousness, and he's come to bring peace, and he's come to bring joy. And his job is to unveil the reality of those things that are on the inside of you. That's why Jesus said, don't go looking for the kingdom of God when they say it's here or there. Why? Because the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. Peace is on the inside of you. Joy is on the inside of you. Righteousness is on the inside of you. It is not something you're trying to attain outside of yourself. It's on the inside of you. And when it says the prodigal son came to himself, that's what he came to. He's hanging out in the pig pen, eating what pigs eat, all the dirt and grime and nastiness of that thing, and he gets woke up. It says he came to himself. Okay, those are the three pillars of the kingdom. And Jesus mentioned the kingdom, I think it's 27 or 28 times through the four gospels, continually teaching the kingdom of God. He's so focused on getting us to understand that this righteousness and peace and joy, which is via the Holy Spirit, has moved on the inside of us. He was so adamant on teaching what the kingdom of God was and that the kingdom of God was on the inside of us. Not because of something we did, but because of something he did. All we did was say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. I was thinking of that one, we sang that one choir song one time, and it kind of was like, joy, 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 joy. And I'm thinking, can you imagine if we changed the words around and said what the enemy wanted us to say? Sorrow, 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 sorrow. Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Jubilation, joy, praise and worship, musical instruments being played. Oh my goodness, nothing frustrates the enemy more than you worshiping and praising your God. Nothing frustrates the enemy more than you walking in joy. I'm telling you, when you start to walk in joy, all the demons and all the that's running with the enemy, literally they run in panic because they say our assignment for that person has been ruined. We had an assignment for this person and how they argue with each other. We had an assignment for you. And what did you do? Why are they walking in joy again? What's wrong with you? You were supposed to keep them in depression. You were supposed to keep them anxious. Why are they dancing? Oh, they're panicking. Panicking. this thing is too big, and it's too strong, and it's too mighty, and it's too full of glory, and it's too much momentum. Too much momentum. Too much. There's a tipping point where there's this momentum. Maybe this is the tipping point year where there's so much momentum, where there's so much momentum that the church just starts trampling under the enemy. Where once the enemy was on top of you, now the enemy is underneath your feet and you're walking on the heads of the enemy. Maybe cutting some heads off. We're not coming in our own name, by the way. We are coming in the name of Jesus Christ. You say, why do you talk in such boldness? Because we're coming in the name of the King of Kings who led all these enemies. He led them all into destruction. And it says he literally made a public spectacle of it all. He didn't hide somewhere in the corner and defeat the enemy. He said, I'm going out in front of everybody. I'm going just like David running up to Goliath. I'm doing this in front of a whole bunch of people, and they're going to see this enemy fall. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Yeah, he did. Joy, 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 joy. So God was shifting people's mindsets from the old covenant to the new covenant, from law to grace. Many people had come convinced that it was by faith that they entered the kingdom of God, not by works. God was more interested in the inward change of heart and relationship than following a list of do's and don'ts. He was teaching them to come into rest and to stop striving, to stop trying to work their way to him and earn his love and realize it was a free gift, that his yoke was easy and his burden was light. And you heard Jeff stand right there today and talk about this idea of walking in peace and walking in this place of rest. You say, why is that important? Because that's what belief leads you into. What does it say? It says in that faith chapter in Hebrews, it said they couldn't enter in. Why? Because they didn't have faith. They didn't believe. But when you unlock the door of belief, you begin to walk in this place. These kingdom principles get unlocked. Oh, man. And we look in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, which is encompasses this whole thing. And isn't it interesting? You always look at Scripture and recognize when things are put in sequential order, there's a reason. Love, joy is right after it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, all the fruits of the Spirit. But joy is number two. And aren't you glad that he's the vine and we are the branches, and that we have been grafted into the vine, and these fruits of the Spirit and these gifts of the Spirit and all these things that he's provided through us through his death and resurrection, his blood is now being fed to us by a vine. Aren't you glad you're attached to the vine? Attached to the vine. I want to know what's coming down the vine next. It's all locked up in the vine. What's he going to feed us next? Quickly, joy is not necessarily dependent on an outside circumstance. Happiness is. You could say it like this: happiness is very superficial, whereas joy is very deep. Happiness is light and joy is heavy. Happiness is easily moved, but the true joy of the Lord is not. Happiness is more of a feeling and joy is more of a knowing. This is what it's important to understand. This is why Paul said, I know what it's like to be starving to death. I know what it's like for me to feel like I'm going to die. I know what it feels like to be rich and to be poor. I know I've been involved in all of these things. But I've learned to be content no matter what is going on around me. And this is the school of the Spirit that we've been brought into, is the Holy Spirit convincing us that our circumstances aren't pointing to what we should be experiencing. Do you hear that? We're in a school of the Spirit. The bell has rung, and school is in session. And this life is the Holy Spirit teaching us and preparing us for the ages to come. Welcome to school. boy, I really would have wished this school would have been just like this easy ride. And I just got, the teacher's like, you know what? I'm just going to give you an A. You don't have to study. You don't have to, you know, I'll give you an A. Study to show yourself approved. A workman. Pleasing to God. Reasonable. It's reasonable. We're ripping through. So joy is not happiness. The word hap, H-A-P, actually means to come about by chance or luck. Hap. It's where we get the words haphazard, happenstance, happening, happiness. Joy does not come about by luck or chance. Oh, come on. We got to chew on that for a minute. It's not luck or chance. It's deliberate and it's intentional. If I'm waiting on some circumstance to bring me joy, I am in the wrong place. But if you're sitting in here right now with all H-E double toothpick breaking out in your life, can let joy rise up on the inside of you, which He has provided for you. This is nothing panics the enemy's camp like you being in a disastrous situation, but you have a well on the inside of you that is literally bubbling up and welling up and overcoming the circumstance that you are being tied down by. This is warfare. The focus in the center of this joy is the great I am, who was, and who is to come. It's the Alpha and the Omega. It's the A and the Z, the beginning and the end, and the author and the finisher. He is the author of my faith, and He will finish it. And I believe it. I believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I believe it. I believe that He started writing my book, and I believe that He's going to bring it to a conclusion. This joy only comes by being directly connected to the joy giver, the vine. That is why it is called the joy of the Lord. It doesn't even originate with us. See, this is the thing that we got to get. Everything that we have been given did not originate with us. This is the love of God that surrounds you, the wraparound presence of Jesus that is all around you. The Bible says the word of faith is near you, even in your mouth. There's going to be myriads of people that say yes to Jesus this year, because the word of God is just sitting there. And when they say yes, Paul said that it pleased God to reveal His Son in him. When you look at a sinner, you look at somebody like Paul and you say, well, he is really, really, really far away. And then all of a sudden Jesus shows up and Paul turns and says, Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? There's a bunch of people out there that are living in deep, dark sin, and Jesus is going to wake them up via the Holy Spirit, because that's the way it happens. And they're going to turn around and they're going to say, what do you want me to do, Jesus? And remember, I've said this many times, but He's saying, isn't it hard to kick against the goats? Isn't it hard to go a different direction? Isn't it hard not to go in the stream of the Spirit? Isn't it hard not to be attached to the vine? He's going to talk to some people. He's going to begin to talk to some people in some dreams. They're going to wake up out of dreams, and they're going to open their eyes, and they're going to be, I don't know what just happened to me. This is what happened to me. I was in the midst of a drug house, not in front of a preacher, and Jesus came into my room, and He said, son, what do you want to do? Do you want to keep going that path, or do you want to go the right path? You've come to a place where you have to yield. And I thought, my life just started passing in front of my eyes. I said, everything that I've done and everything that I've been involved in has led me up to this point, and He offered me a way out. And He's going to be offering tons of people a way out in this new year. New year. I'm going to prophesy that tens of thousands of people are going to come into the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is going to wake them up. Wake them up. Wake them up. And we say to the region, and we put the word out into the atmosphere. And we say, wake up. Every city, every region, every state, every country, world, wake up. And come to know your Savior. Come to know your Savior. Come to know your Savior. Come to know your Rescuer. Your Rescuer. You've been rescued. You've been rescued. You've been rescued. You've been rescued, gentlemen. You've been rescued. You've been rescued. All right, here we go. If that wasn't enough. See, Jesus keeps getting better and better and better. You know what I mean? Just when you finish your steak, he brings in the big old piece of coconut cream pie. Spiritually speaking. Yeah. Shoo. Psalm 16, verse 5 says this, Yahweh, you alone are my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion. You hold my destiny in the timing of your hands. I said again, you hold my destiny in the timing in your hands. Your pleasant path leads me to pleasant places. I'm overwhelmed by the privileges that come with following you. You know you got some privileges. Come on, y'all. You've got privileges. In other words, come on now, places that you normally couldn't get into, you have this thing called a VIP pass. And they're going to get you into some spaces that you wouldn't have otherwise got into, that Jesus wouldn't open the door for you to get into it. Privileges. I got Jesus privilege. Oh, I do. You do too. You do too. You got privileges. Man, oh man. I'm overwhelmed by the privilege that comes with following you. The way you counsel me makes me praise you more. For your whispers in the night give me wisdom. Your whispers in the night give me wisdom. We just talked about dreaming. We just talked about sleep. He's going to be doing some whispering, showing me what to do next. Lord, I don't know what to do. He's going to whisper in your ear and say, go this way. Because I set you, oh, come on now. I set you, Yahweh, always close to me. My confidence will never be weakened, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. The whirlwind of God's presence. The whirlwind. Oh boy, my heart and my soul explode with joy. I forgot that was in here, but I was walking up here thinking there's a joy bomb about to be let off. The fuse is lit. Boom! And joy, my heart and soul, this is what it says, it explodes with joy. Full of glory, even my body will rest confident and secure, for you will not, you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your faithful one to experience corruption. Because of you, I know the path of life as I taste the fullness of joy in your presence, and at your right side, I experience divine pleasures forevermore. Seated with Christ in heavenly places. Where is he seated? At the right hand of the Father. And David said, I have set the Lord always before me. Deliberate and intentional. Hebrews 12. Says this. Verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Take off the weight and lay it aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, this is the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. The joy that was set before him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy was literally the strength that Jesus used to go into those places. The joy of the Lord. The joy that was set before him. And you were a part of that joy. There's a lot of things that surrounded that joy, but you are the joy of his heart. You are the joy that he envisioned on the cross. You are the joy and the reason why he endured. It says, despising this shame. Look up the word despise. It literally means he disarmed shame. I used to think that that meant, you know, he was just in a really bad spot. He just didn't want to be there. He really despised it. Look up the word despise. It means he disarmed shame. So listen, these are principles. If you're walking in shame in here today, realize that he has disarmed shame. That thing that was about to let that shame bomb go off, he disarmed it. I look at him and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary, discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted bloodshed, striving against sin. That word looking is this verb. It's called a pharo. And it means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something else. So the enemy, you know, he takes this thing and he goes, keep looking at this. Keep looking. Look. Fear. Keep looking at fear. Keep looking. Don't stop looking at this. Meanwhile, Jesus is over here and he's like, will you come look over here? Will you come and look over the one that has actually destroyed fear and death and shame and guilt? There's no condemnation in Jesus. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out fear. This thing, whatever you want to plug, whatever word you want to plug into it that the enemy is trying to get you to focus on, Jesus has disarmed this thing. And all the enemy can do is try to dance this in front of your face and try to say, just keep looking, keep looking, keep looking, keep looking. Don't take your eyes off this. To set before him, remember this is what David was talking about, is to be placed before the eyes or in front of or to be present, be at hand, to lie in sight, to be first, to be appointed, to be destined, to set before, the joy that was set before him. It's amazing what we focus on and what we put our attention to and what we put our energy into. We actually end up kind of becoming that thing. What does it say? It says that thing I feared has come upon me. The thing I constantly thought about, the thing I just couldn't get out of my mind, the thing that the enemy got me to focus on all the time has actually become a part of me and is beginning to define me. But I've got news for you that Jesus has erased the definition of what you think of yourself, and he wants you to take his definition, which is you are a son in the house of God, and he will not abandon you. He's not going to leave you forsaken. We're closing down. John 16:16 says this. It says, soon you won't see me any longer. And this is Jesus obviously talking. He says, but then after a little while, you will see me in a new way. Some of the disciples asked each other, what does this mean? Soon you won't see me, and a little while after that, and you will see me in a new way. And what does it mean because I'm going to my Father? So they kept on repeating this. What's the meaning of a little while? We have no clue. We have no clue what he's talking about. Talking amongst each other. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and it was obvious that they were anxious to ask him what he had meant. So he spoke up and he said, let me be quite clear. You will weep and be overcome with grief over what happens to me, and the unbelieving world will be happy about it. While you will be filled with sorrow, but know this, this is your word, your sadness will be turned into joy when you see me again. See, when you see Jesus, I'm talking about right now in this room. When you see him, your sorrow actually turns into joy. See, I don't understand. Because what you are observing and what you are seeing, you will become. Hey, Jesus is the one that said, when you see me, you're going to realize that you're just like me. This is what the Bible says. I'm not making this stuff up. But know this, your sadness will be turned into joy when you see me again, just like a woman giving birth experiences, intense labor pains, and delivering her baby. Yet after the child is birthed and born, she quickly forgets what she went through. Come on, this is your word. You're going to quickly forget what you went through when your baby is born and it's sitting there in your arms. And the way you think that's going to happen, it's probably 1,000 times different than how it's actually going to happen. I know you have it designed in your head and thought it through and thought it's exactly how this is going to, what this outcome is going to be like, but Jesus has some surprises. He's the king of surprises. He's the king of Christmas. He's the king of a bunch of presents sitting in front of you that are wrapped, and you don't know what's on the inside of them. And you're going to unwrap these presents, and you're going to be like, that was so much bigger than I thought it was going to be. Yet after the child is born, she quickly forgets what she went through because of the overwhelming joy of knowing that a new baby has been born into the world. I can't wait to see a bunch of new babies being birthed in this new year. New ministries, new classes, new avenues for you. Babies being birthed. Maybe you're going to have triplets, quadruplets, sextuplets. Maybe you end up on a reality show. So will you also pass through a time of intense sorrow? See, this is the stuff where you need to be alone with Jesus with your Bible open, and you need to read this out loud in the presence of angels and say, so will you also pass through a time of intense sorrow when I'm taken from you, but you will see me again? And then your hearts will burst with joy with no one being able to take it from you. Nobody can take it from you. What's the song? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it. And the world is not going to take it away. Oh, if you look back there's some babies lined up. Someone just texted me and said, by the way, there's babies lined up in the back. All right. Oh, man. For here is eternal truth. We're winding down. When that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Privileges. Privileges. Come on, you got to sit in. Come on, you got to. I got privileges. Not because of me, but because of my relationship with the privilege giver. Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name, but now you can ask and keep on asking him. And you can be sure that you will receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits, no boundaries. I see increase all around me. Come on. Break forth. Joy erases sorrow. If the worship team wants to come up. Joy erases sorrow. He said, no one will be able to take this joy from you. He wants your joy to be full. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. My goodness, why wouldn't you want this? Why wouldn't you want to come into the kingdom if you're not in the kingdom of now? What is stopping you from saying yes to joy, to peace, to increase, to prosperity? What is stopping you? He wants our joy to be full. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy is a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope, not dependent on outward circumstances. Lastly, Acts 13, 49 through 52. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they did something. They shook it off. They shook it off. I know Taylor Swift talked about shaking it off, but the church, we need to shake some stuff off. We need to shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. What was that scriptural? Yeah, it is actually scriptural. Throw off everything that hinders you. Shake it off. Shake it off. Maybe this new year we need to shake some stuff off. Shake it off. Shake it off. But they shook it off, the dust from their feet against them, and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they shook it off. They shook it off. They shook off the voice of the enemy. They shook it off. Y'all can stand. They shook off the dust from their feet, and they were filled with joy. Sometimes you just need to shake it off. This King of glory, this King of joy has come via the word, and he has offered us himself. And we thank you, Jesus, and we worship you, Jesus, and we just say, Lord, in this new year, we are excited for what you're about to do, not just in this house, but in the houses throughout the region in the world. We know the plans that you have for us are good. They are not plans to harm us and do us something wrong or bad. They're actually to give us a hope in our future. And I thank you right now. Can y'all put your hands in the air? We just thank you right now for this great joy. And we just release right now from heavenly places, great joy on you, great joy on you, great peace on you, blessing on you in this new year, a new awakening for you, revelations to come for you, people to be surrounding you that you need. God's going to ask you to do some things this year. He's going to ask you to strip some stuff off and shake some stuff off to move into some new stuff. And it's going to feel like, well, I like that dirty old blanket. I've had that dirty old blanket for 10 years. But he says, shake it off. Drop the dirty blanket and come into this new season and this new place of life. Life more abundantly. And we worship this King in here today. Anybody that needs to prayer or whatever, come on down. Can we give God just a shout right now and just say, thank you, Lord! Thank you, Jesus! Yes, Lord! A triumphant church. Triumphant church. Yeah. Yeah. Let's worship him. Let's praise this King. And in Jesus' name, we say, amen.